Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. On the program today, Paul Enos and I talk with Assembly Minority Leader Marilyn Kirkpatrick. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Robin Reedy, John Sandy, and Mary Beth Seawald. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
The doctors at Eye Care Associates specialize in surgical and medical treatments to maximize your vision results. They can change the way you look at the world.
LipiFlow is an exciting new technology used in the treatment of chronic dry eye disease.
The procedure is quick, usually about 12 minutes, virtually painless, and performed in their surgical suite. Don't let dry eyes interfere with your life.
We perform a comprehensive evaluation to determine whether or not you will benefit from LipiFlow.
Your sight is critical. Call Eye Care Associates for an appointment.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
What does the massive Tahoe Reno Industrial Center offer to Northern Nevada? Well, there's an incredible amount of oversized infrastructure in place, along with hundreds of sites to accommodate relocating or expanding businesses. The park includes IT ecosystems, call centers, data centers, e-commerce distribution, and there's defense system manufacturing, clean energy, there's renewables and recycling, and we're just getting started. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers. We're always pleased to welcome back to the program Assembly Minority Leader Marilyn Kirkpatrick. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
So yesterday on the program, Senator Ben Kiekhefer was here, and we were talking about your blueprint for Nevada, and he called it a lot of bullet points and not a lot of substance. How do you respond to him?
Here's what I would tell you. It's a blueprint, right? It's something to start on, and we will build as we go through session. I mean, it's no different than what we've done in the past, and I think there's a lot of things in there that are good policy. We'll hear the policy bills as we come, and we will hope that we can work through the budget to include some of those.
He said that, you know, we're already a third of the way through the cycle, and that the governor presented his, you know, concepts at the beginning of the year that, you know, it's getting a bit too late to be able to do this.
So here's what I would tell you, that many of the things that are in there, such as the education plan, we've been working on for a very long time, and the governor put that in his State of the State. There's things in there that don't cost anything, but they're good policy. There's the child care in there, which was already in the budget. It's just a matter of how much that we allocate to it. So to say it's too late, this building works for 120 days. We don't stop just right after 30.
Now, do you think he's talking about too late for a revenue plan? I mean, the governor's going to release the details finally. We hear 200 pages of his revenue plan today, which is the business license fee based on revenue. Do you have an answer to his plan with maybe a different course for new revenue?
Well, I've been in this building a long time, and I've always talked about a good tax policy that was longstanding, stable, and simple for people to put in place. And
200 pages isn't simple? 30 different categories? That seems
could be simple for some. So what I would say is it's not too late. It's actually very early if you look at the history on how we've had this these discussions. So, you know, I talk about getting rid of exemption and loopholes. I don't know there's a time frame on that, right? We've been talking about that for a very long time. Anytime you talk about a luxury discretionary spending tax, making sure that the smaller businesses, our mom and pops, our people that are just trying to get started, that they have a small and consistent fee that they can rely upon. I don't think that discussion's too late at all.
So that sounds like it's something that's not based on revenue. I mean, that's one of the problems when you have small mom and pops that aren't profitable, where they don't have that consistent revenue coming in. And I think that's one of the biggest criticisms of the governor's BLF and the details that we've seen so far.
Well, what I will tell you is we haven't seen the details, so like you, we're waiting. But those are things that we need to keep in mind as we move forward with any revenue package, and that's no different from what I've said for the last 10 years.
You know, there was a lot of people who were saying that, you know, prior to the election, that nobody really believed that the Republicans were going to take both houses, and that there was a lot of discussion, including yourself, on a revenue plan. How did that change from before the election to what the governor presented after the election?
I don't think that it's changed at all, because we've talked about this for 18 months. We've brought business to the table to show the need for new revenue, and we're still in that phase, right? Conceptually, everybody agrees with a lot of things that are out there, but until anybody sees the details, it's hard to get around that.
I guess it's the method of how you provide the taxes. I mean, businesses spent close to $4 million defeating the teachers' tax.
$7 million.
North of 4 million.
North.
And,
north.
And yet, what the governor presented, a lot of people looked at and said, this is just what we spent all this money to defeat. So was that the same tax thought that was prior to the election that came after the governor's speech?
So at least for me, that was not. What we talked about is closing loopholes, fixing the exemptions so that everybody paid, and we need a broad-based business tax that people can rely on.
Was that the modified business tax?
The modified business tax does play a key piece in it, because there are many people who haven't been paying it. And when I started in this building, everybody paid a little something. However, when times were tough, we were trying to give the smaller businesses a leg to stand on. And so talking about fixing the property tax, I mean, who wouldn't want everybody to pay their fair share on that? Talking about a modified business tax that works for everybody.
Can I back you up a second? Uh-huh. So on the property taxes, we have a split rule right now between what's paid on residences and what businesses pay, which some say is unconstitutional, but at the same time, who's going to go to the Supreme Court and argue to raise taxes on that? But what are you looking at in terms of property taxes?
Really closing the loopholes on that particular piece.
So fixing the depreciation where you have a...
So currently we're one of 50 states that... that have depreciation in. I mean, nobody else around us has that. So
it doesn't reset on sale.
We're one of 50 states who don't even go in that direction. So we stand out far on the map, and those are real discussions that we need to have, right? So is the business income loss, is that being reevaluated every single time that they go back in? I think that it needs to be put in an audit provision in so that we know that everybody's following the same rules. There's nothing wrong with fixing... reforming tax policy that helps the state grow for the long term across the highs and the lows of our state, but people need stability.
And what about the Las Vegas Chamber? You know, they did this big tax study, but they haven't come out and said what they're really in favor of from that tax study. What's your sense?
What I will tell you is it validated a lot of things, right? Raggio had a tax study in the 70s. The 80s, the 90s, we have lots of tax studies that continue to say we need a broad-based, across-the-top, lower-the-rate tax policy that works for our state. So I think that as the governor's business license fee is rolled out next week, that you'll hear lots of discussion. Remember, there's a little over 300,000 businesses that we have to take in consideration. So it can't be five businesses telling the legislature what they think is good.
Do you support the idea of it being based on gross receipts?
So what I will tell you is not necessarily without seeing it, but I will tell you that there are some folks who pay nothing in our state, and we need to ensure that everybody pays something.
All right, let's take a break. More with Marilyn Kirkpatrick when we come back.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assembly Minority Leader Marilyn Kirkpatrick, the former speaker.
Assemblywoman, so far, the big story of the session has been the pace. Everything seems to be moving fast. We've had some pretty big policy initiatives that, you know, in the past would usually be something that was negotiated as part of the end game. Construction defect, prevailing wage, school construction, those things have passed very, very early on this session. Does the pace surprise you?
It does not. It concerns me. What I will tell you is there's not a lot of time for deliberation, and we have to have thoughts. I mean, you two have been in the building a very long time. Anytime that you rush things through and you don't have time to talk about all the unintended consequences, there's usually some pretty big unintended consequences. So it concerns me that we're not having more thoughtful discussion on it. When you introduce a bill on Friday and you hear it on Monday, how many people in the state do you really think are going to be part of that discussion?
But on the other side of the coin, people have complained for years that nothing gets done for the first 90 days, and then in the last month, especially the last week, it gets crazy.
So I would beg to differ, because I was in charge last time, and we did move fairly stable, steady across the board to the very end. And, you know, on the Assembly side, there's many new legislators who don't even understand the prevailing wage piece that they probably even voted for. So how can you expect? I'm a big believer in legislators got to be able to go home and justify their votes. If someone calls them and asks them, why did you vote on this? Absolutely. And as far as construction defect, listen, I worked on that for 18 months. So the key piece in that has always held us up, the fighting amongst the home builders and the subs and the contractors.
The indemnification piece.
That's exactly was the meat of that bill. So, I mean, I worked on it. I had AB1, and, you know, it's easy to cut and paste somebody else's language and hard work and put it into your own and call it good. So I would just say that there was a lot of work put in the interim, and I'm nervous that we're not going to get real input from real people that could be impacted.
You've been an advocate of increased transportation funding. You and I have worked a lot on these issues together. You have co-sponsored a bill with the Assembly Majority Leader, Paul Anderson, mm-hmm. AB 191, to fix the fuel tax indexing. So we have a vote across the counties. What do you think the chances are of us getting some kind of funding plan for state transportation needs?
I really think that it's a serious discussion that we have to have. You know, we've worked on this for about 18 months because there is no federal dollars that we can count on anymore, and Nevada has to invest in their infrastructure. And without roads, none of us are going anywhere, and there's not going to be any growth.
Let me ask you about this. You know, what the governor laid out in his State of the State were a lot of things that Democrats have been working for years. How difficult is it for Democrats to be able to vote against the governor's budget in whatever form it comes out.
Here's what I'll tell you is we've all been working on these things for a very long time, right? We don't check kids' voter registration when they go to school. We educate them. So it's great that we're all having the same discussions, because I think that's a first in a very long time. But you have to be mindful of, at the end, you know, if we don't have a broad-based revenue plan that is sustaining for the long term to ensure these programs work, what did we accomplish? So, I mean, we just have to work through that at this point.
What do you think about the Assembly Republicans and the split in their caucus?
I think this building tends to unite folks at some point, right? So we've seen it in the past. Usually things that go crazy come back together and people start uniting and work together. Yesterday I was in this very same chambers telling people that it's okay to disagree, but if you can't come to the table and find the solution, you're doing a disservice to your constituents.
Do you think live entertainment tax is going to be part of the final tax discussion, you know, fixing that, trying to...
You mean the luxury discretionary spending tax?
It just seems crazy. It seems crazy that NASCAR and Burning Man and these other huge events...
Electric Daisy Carnival.
Yeah. I don't disagree. For 10 years, I've been working on that myself. So, but really, it's in a different perspective now. It's really a luxury for folks to be able to go to those things. It's discretionary dollars, and a lot of our tours pay that. And if you can sell out in 44 minutes, then I'm sure that your fans wouldn't mind paying just a little bit extra to help us lower car registration fees in our state, to have a sales tax holiday for people that are buying school supplies. So I think that it actually has more momentum this time just by changing the name.
And have you been able to figure out a way to not affect, you know, the guitar player playing in a restaurant?
Absolutely, because you want people to be able to go out and enjoy themselves and have a quality of life. So there is numbers in there that you determine on when it is a small event in a neighborhood bar situation or a jazz piece or a lounge show. So there are numbers in there.
I mean, those were part of the unintended consequences of 2003.
Because we rushed
Senate
through,
bill
right? In a special session without any deliberation.
Okay, well, that's where we have to leave for today. Please come back soon.
Thanks,
I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
Let us help you get back on track and fight for the compensation you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
Find 70 reasons to shop and save during our 70th anniversary event at Ashley Furniture Home Store. 7 lucky customers will win a $700 shopping spree. Find clearance items up to 70% off. Hurry in today and take advantage of 7 new door crashers each week, like this contemporary sofa, only $377, or this 14-piece dining room, only $497. Plus, get 70 months free financing. Join us in celebrating 70 years of style, selection, quality, and value. Only at your neighborhood Ashley Furniture Home Store.
Everybody has curves, especially ladies. Well, at Home Solutions at Ace, we now have the Thomasville Air Mattress with separate chambers that adjust to your every curve. There's probably no more comfortable mattress in the world. And we have them on sale from just $18.99. And listen to this. We'll also give you gifts up to $300 or a free rocker recliner. And how about this special Best Home Power Recliner Sofas in leather for just $13.99? Only at Home Solutions at Ace, the hardware store with an entire furniture center.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We've worked for the insurance companies, and we will fight for every dollar you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel. As always, Robin Reedy is here, the Operations Director for the Nevada State Medical Association, John Sandy with Argentum Partners, and Mary Beth Sewold, President of the Nevada Broadcasters Association. So starting with you, Robin, your takeaway from former Speaker Kirkpatrick's appearance here today.
Well, I think it's very telling when a Democrat can't say that they're going to be for or against a tax that's going to go through the legislature, the proposed taxes from the governor.
And what is the thought behind that?
Well, in this state, it's just tough to be for taxes, no matter what side of the party you're on.
John?
Well, it was interesting. I think one of the things that kind of came through is maybe a little bit of frustration. I think that, you know, obviously she has put a lot of work in working with the governor prior to the election. And now having the election turn out the way that it did, I think that she would like to be a little bit more involved in the unveiling and the ultimate, the final kind of negotiating of the tax package. I kind of sense that through her discussion.
Okay, but how would that play with the Assembly Republicans who are not real thrilled with this to begin with?
Well, and I think there's still a long ways to go. I mean, to your point is that we're one third of the way through the session, and there's still a long time left to go and a lot of things that could happen. And, you know, we're only going to find out the details and get into the devil as soon as the governor kind of unveils the package.
Which should be later today.
Which should be later today. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I agree. The frustration was probably the biggest telling point. And moving forward, that's been the history so far to date. So moving forward, the devil will be in the details as we see later today what happens.
She still has a tremendous amount of power. She's one of the most, probably the most policy-focused person in that building. And she has to bring all 17 votes. Without her, no tax plan gets passed, without her caucus. So I think she still has a tremendous amount of power and is really going to drive the conversation. I mean, I think she was surprised, as many of us were, that the tax plan that a lot of us have been talking about during the interim and during the defeat of the margins tax, or working to defeat the margins tax, wasn't what we're going to probably see today, unless I'm completely surprised. I mean, the business license fee does look a lot like the margins tax. It doesn't take into account profitability. So we think, we'll see, we'll, after we sift through the 200 pages, where we are. And I don't know that anybody's really disputing the fact that we need more revenue, except for a few people. I think it's, how do we get there? You know, what is it going
to
look like?
I have to point out, your famous quote was that you would have been happy with this if Governor Sandoval would be governor forever.
You know, you look at this, it's a revenue-based plan. And I think a lot of people have issues with revenue-based taxes. When you look at the states that have a corporate income tax, it's based on revenue. It never performs like they think it does. So it's always tinkered with. They're always screwing around with the rates. Washington State, the trucking industry up there has four bills this session to deal with their business income tax.
One of the ways that we could save money was a story that Sandy Cherub came up with from the Las Vegas Review Journal. A Senate panel hears bill to kill tax roll publication requirement. The broadcasters certainly have an issue there.
Absolutely. We're very interested in that because we have legislation pending. It's a BDR currently, 1095, and when it becomes a bill, then it will come out in the Committee on Government Affairs. And our legislation would be very similar to what the county assessors are trying to do with their tax rolls and posting them on the Internet, because we are looking to enable, ours is like the assessors, it's enabling legislation that would expand the marketplace from the current monopoly that the print media enjoys to allow broadcasters to be included in the marketplace for public notices as well.
And doesn't it drive you crazy, Robin, if you're a newspaper subscriber and you suddenly get this giant tax roll thing, that why are we doing that? It's 2015.
So antiquated.
It is.
I mean, with the Internet requiring these rules, it's just, I guess, a moneymaker for newspapers.
It is. And much like the legislation,
and printers,
right, much like the legislation that the county assessors have pending, is that our legislation would also save government agencies and taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars as well in fees, because we would expand the marketplace, provide a choice, and really honor the true sense of the word public notice and make them public.
An interesting thing came out, which was the PERS reform bill that Randy Kern is pushing would cost $800 million a year. Does that mean this thing is DOA?
Yeah, I tend to think it is. I mean, I applaud Randy for trying to come up with solutions and ideas of ways to reform PERS, but I think the price tag and the controversy surrounding it, the objection from a lot of the public employees, I think is too much to overcome at this point.
Robin?
Well, you know, I am from a policy perspective. There does have to be changes. We can't afford going forward with what we have.
Okay, but at that cost, do you think that cost is real?
I think anything in government that you change will cost a lot of money.
But in the long run, you would end up
saving? In the long run, it would save.
What do you think, Paul?
I'll agree with Robin, our former assistant treasurer, deputy treasurer, on that.
Okay, Mary Beth, you get the last
word. Yeah, well, anything that saves us money in the long run has to be worth a look, so definitely.
All right, so one says dead, the other saved, maybe still alive. Okay, that's where we got to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on the Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you want to sell your home, call Marshall Realty. What separates us is our commitment to market your home everywhere. And I promise you results or you pay me nothing. Call today at 473-1055.
The University of Nevada School of Medicine has been making Nevada healthier for more than 45 years. Our groundbreaking research is making an impact locally, nationally, and worldwide. And we're making a difference with doctors providing medical care near you. As Nevada's statewide public medical school, we offer an educational value amongst the highest in the country. We are partnering with leading Nevada hospitals and healthcare institutions to combine teaching and learning with outstanding clinical care. Join us in improving Nevada's health and yours.
So what do you think?
I think you were absolutely right. The furniture here is high quality, and a lot of it looks brand new.
And did you check out the prices?
I have. I can't believe how affordable it is.
And the great thing is everything is up to 70% off retail, and new inventory arrives every day.
Nice. I can't thank you enough for bringing me here. This is exactly what I've been looking for.
So if you haven't been to Consign Furniture, you need to check it out. Or visit us online at consignfurniturenow.com. Consign Furniture. Easy way to sell, smart way to buy.
Save thousands on the new revolutionary swim spa at a one-time event.
Friday through Sunday.
Reno Ballroom across from Silver Legacy Casino.
Exercise with low impact.
Swim the entire year and stay in shape.
Teach your kids to swim.
Unwind and save thousands.
Avoid the expense and maintenance involved with a pool.
Swim, exercise, and relax in your new aquatic exercise swim spa.
Installation in one day only.
New 2015 inventory.
12 months interest-free financing.
Millions of dollars of inventory must be sold.
Friday through Sunday.
Reno Ballroom across from Silver Legacy Casino.
Free admission.
Free parking.
Call 1-888-SPA-SALE.
If you want amazing results and a marketing expert, you need to call Marshall Realty. My guarantee is your 100% satisfaction or you pay me no commission. Call me today if you want to see how we invest in marketing your home.
On our next broadcast from Carson City, Senate Minority Leader Aaron Ford will join us. We'll see you then.